We're real neophytes. With all due respect to anyone who might fit into this category, they'd only been devotees maybe a year, or maybe 2 years. Say 2 years. Now perhaps some of us here have also only been devotees for a year or two. So can you imagine taking Prabhupada's tapes and having to edit them because they were fairly rough? I mean, that the quality of recording often was not good. Prabhupada stopping and starting, and complicated topics that you'd never heard of before being discussed, and you have to then reorganize it all and present it in a very, like, organized fashion in English. So, like with the Bhagavad Gita, a similar thing happened. After some years, the devotees realized that there were some things in Bhagavad Gita, after Prabhupada disappeared, which were not actually correct. So fortunately they had the original tapes of Bhagavad Gita, so Jayadvaita Maharaj went through them. And he found dozens of things which were not correct. And so he changed, he edited Bhagavad Gita. In the case of Nectar of Devotion, unfortunately the tapes are not existent, or no one knows where they are. So that makes it more difficult. But on reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is done by Prabhupada, obviously, and also edited by the devotees several years later, when the devotees were much better versed in Krishna consciousness. Now here, like in the verse we just read, and in most of these verses that we've given you, these are the discussions which Nectar of Devotion has been written from. Sanatana Goswami instructed Rupa Goswami, and Lord Chaitanya instructed Rupa Goswami, and then Rupa Goswami presented Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So anyway, we're just trying to make the point that it would appear here that in this chapter, which is mainly discussing about devotees who are perfect in spontaneous love for Krishna, that the proper term really is ragatmika. Whereas for those who are practicing, the term is raganuga. Practicing devotional service, following those who have rag. Okay, so now, write down at the bottom of page 119, and the discussion goes over to page 120. A verse is referred to from Srimad Bhagavatam, and we've also given it to you somewhere. It's on the other sheet of paper. The side that says further verses. No, wait a minute. Where are we? Other verses. Not further verses, but other verses. You see that? In fact, this one is the top one. So now, we mentioned that rag, the term rag can be applied in different ways. It can be applied to material attachment. It basically indicates the mood of anyone who is very intensely attached to something. So now, this verse, 7.1.30, is explaining about people who have become intensely attached to Krishna for four reasons. One is lust. That's the first one. If you look on the verse sheet, you'll see kama. So kam, lust. Some devotees have become attached through lust. Then some other people, not devotees actually, but some other people have become attached to Krishna, intensely attached, out of envy. Obviously not devotees. But there are examples of people who became extremely intensely attached to Krishna, but out of envy. Then some others who are also not devotees became extremely attached to Krishna out of fear. And then there's some others who also became very, very attached to Krishna out of affection or like familial relationship. The type of affection that you get in a family type situation. So now the idea is, this is Narada Muni speaking to Maharaj Yudhisthira, and he's saying, talking about different people who were intensely attached to Krishna. The occasion was Krishna killing Shishupal, and Maharaj Yudhisthira saw Shishupal merge, the soul rise out of his body and merge into Krishna's body. In other words, he saw before his very eyes Shishupal get Sayuja Mukti, impersonal merging with the Supreme Lord. So Yudhisthira was astonished. How on earth did this happen? So he appealed to Narada Muni. You please explain. Because I know this person, Shishupal, hated Krishna. In fact, he says a very interesting thing. That even in his childhood, when Shishupal couldn't even speak properly, with the broken words of a child, he simply blasphemed Krishna. And then for his entire life, up to this very moment, Shishupal never said one word other than blasphemy of Krishna. So this is what we call rag, in a sense, a particular application. An intense attachment. Actually, it's so intense that it excludes anything else. So, who were the devotees who were intensely attached to Krishna out of so-called lust? Prabhupada explains on the next page. The gopis. We'll discuss them in a minute. But then, who was attached to Krishna out of envy? Shishupal. Who was attached to Krishna out of fear? Kamsa. And who was attached to Krishna out of affection or due to the family relationship? The Yadus. So here Narada is saying that all four had rag, intense attachment to Krishna. But Kamsa and Shishupal cannot be called rag atmika devotees, even though they possess rag. And this goes back to the verse Anya Bilashita Shunyam, because their attitudes were not favorable. Then, I don't think it's mentioned here in Nectar of Devotion. No, it's not. But when Maharaj Yudhisthira is discussing with Narada Muni, Maharaj Yudhisthira says that, I have just seen Shishupal get Sayuja Mukti. But I've read in Srimad Bhagavatam that Vena did not get Sayuja Mukti. Vena went to hell. We're just beginning the discussion about Vena in our Srimad Bhagavatam classes this morning. And it's very interesting. He was similar to Shishupal and Kamsa in that he was very hateful and very nasty. And among other things, he hated the Supreme Lord. But there's a difference between his intensity of hatred and the intensity of hatred of Shishupal or Kamsa. As we mentioned, Shishupal and Kamsa. Shishupal, for his whole life, from his birth to the time of his death, he never forgot Krishna. He never thought of anything other than Krishna. And Kamsa, at least from the point at which he became aware that Krishna was going to kill him, from that point on for several years, he was also in the same condition. He never forgot Krishna for one instant. So this is rag. Intense attachment which excludes interest in anything else. Now Vena, he also hated Krishna. But whereas Shishupal and Kamsa got liberation, Vena went to hell. Do you know the reason why? Even though he was... Anyway, do you know the reason why? Because even though he was very hateful and thinking of Krishna a lot, but sometimes he thought of other things. Sometimes he thought about his enemies, killing his enemies, and gratifying his senses. Although mainly he was thinking of how he hated God, but sometimes he thought of other things. So therefore, it's not considered to be rag. It's not intense attachment which excludes anything else. Therefore, he didn't get mukti. He went to hell. So, here Narada Muni is making the point about rag. That anyone who has rag will be liberated. And he actually goes on to say, I don't know if we've given you the verse, there's so many verses here, that we may get a little lost in them. Okay, yeah, it's here. The next verse on that page, the same other verses from chapters 15 and 16. The second one, 7.1.31. Now, this is talking about six categories of people, as opposed to four. And the reason that it's six and not four, and the reason the other two categories were not mentioned with the four, because this is the next verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, after the first one, is that the other two, even though they're very attached to Krishna, they're very great devotees, but they don't really have rag. So this is now also the there's the Pandavas who also have affection, but it's not so intense as the affection of the Yadus. Here in this verse, the Yadus, it refers to their family relationship. And then there are the general devotees who are attached through devotional service. And Narada is the example. So the Pandavas, they don't have that intensity in their relationship that the Yadus do. And the general devotees who are doing devotional service and are very attached to Krishna, but they don't have that all-consuming, overwhelming, and all-excluding, everything else excluding intensity that the devotees mainly in Vrindavan have, headed by Narada. They are mainly devotees who have become perfect through Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti only. How are we doing? Are we losing you? Have we lost anyone or everyone? Are we with it, so to speak? Okay. So let's try and stay with it. So the point we're making is about rag here, this intense attachment which excludes anything else and which, when it's there, in the form of devotional service, is called rag atmika, devotional service. So now, let's see, where are we? Well, then there's a discussion, there's a discussion on page 120, going over to page 121, about the impersonalists and the enemies of Krishna. And the point is made, if you look on page 121, the first paragraph there, towards the bottom of the first paragraph, five lines up. Impersonalists and enemies of the Lord are, because of their attraction, in other words, this exclusive attraction and attachment to God in some way or another, not personal, but to God, they're very intensely attached. They're allowed to enter his kingdom. But of course they can't enter Vaikuntha. So in the second of these verses on the page entitled Other Verses, it points out that the gopis, Kamsa, Shishupal, the Yadus, the Pandavas, and the general devotees obtained the mercy of Krishna. It means got liberation. So then Narada Muni, in a very humble mood, having made that statement, he then says, actually, I think that the enemies of Krishna are better than us because they were more intensely attached than we are. And they got the same goal. They got liberation. But here, Prabhupada, Srila Rupa Goswami, they're making a distinction between the liberation of the devotees and the liberation of Kamsa and Shishupal. They got impersonal liberation, whereas the devotees, they go to Goloka Vrindavan. Particularly if they have rag, they go to Goloka Vrindavan. But the general devotees like Narada, they go to Vaikuntha. They don't have rag, so they don't go to Goloka, but they go to Vaikuntha. So then, there are two types of rag atmika devotees. Has everyone got all this?
Okay.
I hope so. So there are two types of devotees who have rag already. They're already perfect. So they're ragatmika devotees. Relationship. Which, for the sake of technical information, means Kama Rupa and Sambandha. So in that first verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, where the four types of people were discussed, those attracted on the basis of kaam, those attracted on the basis of family relationship, and then fear and envy. So the fear and envy we reject, that they don't come into the category of rag atmika devotees, but those who are attracted on the basis of apparently sensual attraction, meaning the gopis, and those who are attracted on the basis of relationship, like the parents and the friends, and even the servants of Krishna in Vrindavan, they fall into the second category. So what would that tend to indicate then about Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti? Mother Chandra Prabha, any suggestions? You don't understand the question. There are two types of devotees who possess this intense attachment for Krishna. So what would that indicate if Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti is following means following the devotees who have rag, what would that indicate about Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti? No? What would you say, Anupam? Yes. There are also two types. There are two basic paths of Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. Because when you're practicing Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti, you are following the devotees who already have that rag which you are trying to cultivate. So you would either follow those who have the sensual attraction or those who have the attraction more in the mood of relationship, meaning family relationship or friendly, or even servant relationship. So let us see. Now, of course, we should mention about the gopis that Narada Muni, Prabhupada's given this verse here, spoken by Narada Muni at the beginning of chapter 15, and it's referring to kaam, a lusty attraction. So, of course, we shouldn't misunderstand that and think that it is actually that. It's not actually that. It's a very pure attraction. In fact, the idea is, it just resembles material lust in that there's an attraction between Krishna and the gopis. But if there's any lust or if there's any feeling of intense attraction, the intense attraction is to serving Krishna, to actually pleasing Krishna. So when we think of a lusty desire, meaning, you know, an intense, deep attraction in a certain way, in this case it means that they're so attached to Krishna, they want to please Him, and they have practically, apparently, a lusty desire to do that. They want to please Krishna very, very intensely. It's an attraction to serving the Lord in a particular way. Someone may want to serve the Lord as a cowherd boy and just have an all-consuming desire to serve Him in that way. Or to please Him in any way that he wants, like the gopis. So actually the desire, which is being referred to as a lusty desire, is actually the desire to please Krishna. And in order to make the point that it's not a lusty desire as we know lusty desires, on page 123, Prabhupada, in the section about sensual attraction, Prabhupada explains the whole concept. This extreme desire to serve the Lord is manifest in the transcendental land of Raja, and it is specifically manifested among the gopis. The gopis' love for Krishna is so elevated that for our understanding it is sometimes explained as being lusty desire. Then Prabhupada goes on to distinguish between lusty desire as we know it and the service attitude. Lusty desire normally refers to the desire to gratify one's own senses, but this transcendental desire which the gopis have refers to the desire to serve the senses of the Lord. In the material world, we know there's no such thing as a lover wanting to please the beloved. It's the other way round. But the gopis want nothing at all except to gratify the senses of Krishna in any way, which is unknown in the material world. Therefore, the gopi's ecstatic love for Krishna is sometimes described by scholars as being like the lusty desire of the material world. Then Prabhupada goes on in the next paragraph to make the point that it couldn't be the same lusty desire that we know of, because it's the gopis are worshipped by Uddhava. And Uddhava is such an exalted and pious and noble person that he would never possibly worship someone who was very, very lusty in the material sense. So we should understand by the example of Uddhava that this so-called calm referred to by Narada Muni, the so-called lusty desire of the gopis, actually has nothing whatsoever to do with material lust. Then not only that, Prabhupada goes on to refer to Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya was a sannyasi. So he's a renunciate. He has no business getting involved with boys and girls and lusty relationships between boys and girls. He's also the Supreme Personality of Godhead, setting an example for devotees. So, therefore, he certainly has no business setting the example of being interested in lusty affairs between boys and girls. And in fact, Lord Chaitanya said that the gopis' method of worship of Krishna is the highest. It's even higher than those very pious and noble devotees in Vaikuntha, in Dwaraka. It's even higher. So, therefore it's not mundane in any way. It's a very glorious thing. And then the relationship, if we just begin chapter 16, the type of attraction to Krishna, intense attraction, in which any other conception is forgotten other than Krishna is, I have a relationship with Krishna. Everything else is forgotten. Krishna's position as God, Krishna's power. Everything is forgotten other than I have a relationship with Krishna as a friend, as a family member, like that. So this is exemplified by Nanda Maharaj, Mother Yashoda, to some extent the inhabitants of Dwaraka, and even sometimes the Pandavas. Like Arjuna, you know, in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna initially is quite friendly with Krishna. He's arguing with Krishna. He doesn't want to accept what Krishna says. So this is in the mood of Rag. It's in the mood of Rag. Intense attachment in which you forget about Krishna's position. You just think in terms of your relationship, that Krishna is my friend, in the case of Arjuna. So because Krishna is my friend, I may argue with him. But then Krishna showed Arjuna the universal form. And then you probably noticed that Arjuna's attitude changed. There was no more rag, but there was extreme awe and reverence. Actually, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that when Arjuna realized that he shouldn't have a friendly relationship with Krishna, when he thought that, and he was thinking that actually I should be very respectful, the weight of that realization and the feeling that I've been disrespectful to this great person, Krishna, who's God, the weight was so heavy that Arjuna had a heart attack, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Or it was like having a heart attack. Devastating realization. Switching from the mood of friendship, overlooking Krishna's position, through being absorbed in the relationship, then seeing the universal form and then understanding actually he's God, and then switching into that mood. So it was very extreme. So therefore the Pandavas, they may be taken sometimes to fit into this category of spontaneous devotees in relationship, But other times they're not. Other times they're not. Therefore, generally they're not included. Here they're not included. Here, who's included? The inhabitants of Vrindavan, like Krishna's parents and his friends. This mood of rag, intense attachment to Krishna as their relative, which excludes the concept that he's God because of the intensity of attachment. His position as God is excluded from the picture. But then the Pandavas are not mentioned because then they don't really fit into the category strictly. Sometimes they're in, sometimes they're out. So again, regarding the sensual or kama rupa form of rag atmaka bhakti, devotional service performed by people who have this intense spontaneous attraction. The queens in Dwaraka, they also come in the first of these two categories, sensual attachment or kama rupa, that form of rag atmika bhakti. So then raganuga bhakti means devotional service in which one is following the devotees who already possess that attachment. Following, cultivating devotional service in that mood and of that type of activity also. And that we'll discuss in 15 minutes. Does anyone have any comments or questions so far? Did anyone not understand what we were saying? Did anyone understand what we were saying? Okay. At the beginning of the next session, I think I'll give out all of our brains a little rest for 15 minutes. But it takes a little explanation. Anyone else? Any other comments or questions? Feel free. Okay, so a 15-minute break. That means about, say, 20 or 25 past. We'll start again. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. I don't know where the other devotees are, but... So... We've explained that rag means an intense attachment to Krishna in terms of one's rasa with Krishna, and it's so intense an attachment that it excludes any other considerations, including considerations about Krishna's position or anything. Just an intense attachment in terms of one's particular rasa with Krishna. Generally, it's exhibited mainly in Vrindavan. There, Srimati Radharani and the gopis are thinking, Krishna is our boyfriend, and they're so intensely absorbed in attachment to Krishna in that way that generally any other idea about Krishna or any other idea about anything is excluded. That's the sensual or kama rupa form. Then the sambandha rupa means that Krishna's parents or friends, they're so intensely attached to Krishna as their child or friend that any other conception of Krishna is excluded. So therefore the relationship is called spontaneous, completely spontaneous. Just out of the love and the feelings they have for Krishna in terms of the rasa. And We made the point that they're the gopis in Vrindavan, but then also the inhabitants of Dwarka, many of them are included as ragatmika devotees, or devotees who have real rag, in the kama rupa form, the sensual form of attachment, the queens of Dwarka. They're there. Then in the category of ragatmika devotees who are attached to Krishna in what is called relationship or sambandha rupa, then, then particularly Krishna's parents and other elderly people in Vrindavan, plus his friends, so those people in Vrindavan, and also his servants, although they're not really referred to very much. And then in Dwarka, the elderly people mainly. And then a few people in Mathura, which includes Hastinapur, just are like marginal. So they're not really mentioned because they are marginal. It's not like they're really situated in rag all the time. And we mentioned Arjuna and the Pandavas. Sometimes they have that attachment and they just forget about anything else than Krishna being their friend or their cousin. But sometimes when circumstances are in a certain way, then they realize, oh, Krishna's God. So that intense attachment in terms of the rasa becomes affected. Actually, it becomes lost. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur gives an explanation. He says, because of the love, if we take particularly the inhabitants of Vrindavan, because of their love, if Krishna ever does something very grand, which shows him to be God, because he does, like killing a demon, lifting Govardhan Hill, something very grand and very extraordinary, which your boyfriend couldn't do, or your friend, or your child couldn't do, in terms of the rasas, with the mood of rag. So when Krishna does something which is very impressive, which would lead one to think that he may be God, then because of their deep love in this mood of rag, of intense attachment, then they tend to think, the gopis tend to think, oh, we're very fortunate that God is our boyfriend. Aren't we lucky? And then they forget about it, because the intense attachment in the rasa again takes over. So then it excludes their thinking about how he did something very grand. Or the parents, Mother Yashoda, when Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill and everyone was saying, oh, he must be God, only God could have done that. So Mother Yashoda, her mood of rag, intense attachment in the parental rasa, became affected, but not like blown away altogether, as in the case of Arjuna with the universal form. His intense attachment as a friend and cousin just totally disappeared. And now he was with God, and he was feeling that awe and reverence, very, very overwhelming feelings of fear and reverence for Krishna, respect. So Mother Yashoda, her intense feeling of motherly attachment for her little baby Krishna, or little boy Krishna, was affected when Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill. So a consciousness that, oh yes, only God could do such a thing, it definitely entered her mind. But that intense maternal feeling was not just blown away. It was just mildly affected. So what did she think? She thought, oh, I'm very lucky that God is my son. How fortunate I am. And then she forgot about it, because again, the maternal feelings just overwhelmed. And the same with the friends in Vrindavan. They think, gosh, God is my friend. I'm really lucky. But then that love in friendship just covers over that perception of the grandness of Krishna, and they just see Krishna as being their friend. And they feel that he is our friend. So the Pandavas, because their intense absorption in the relationship as friends and cousins is not so strong. So when Krishna does something grand and magnificent, then that attachment in that friendly rasa is just gone. And total awe and reverence just takes over, at least for some time. And it can take a long time before their feelings of intimacy start to come in again and cover over that realization of Krishna's magnificent position. So therefore the Pandavas and the inhabitants of Mathura, which includes Hastinapur, are not really included in the category of those devotees who really have rag, or in other words, rag atmaka. Within the atma, within the self, there is this intense attachment which is fixed there. So it's mainly the inhabitants of Vrindavan and some of the inhabitants of Dwaraka. And Prabhupada makes an interesting comment on page 125. In the second paragraph on the page, spontaneous love of Krishna, as exhibited by the Vrishnis, which means the inhabitants of Dwaraka, and the denizens of Vrindavan, is eternally existing in them. Therefore, their rag atma, rag atmika. In the stage of devotional service where regulative principles are followed, that's our stage, there is no necessity of discussing this love, for it must develop of itself at a more advanced stage. So if you're having any difficulty understanding these ideas, this is why. Because our consciousness is not really reaching into that level, therefore realization is lacking. And it's more like theoretical ideas. But as realization comes, then, you know, appreciation can come more. Which brings up the next point, eligibility. Who can actually be a Raganuga devotee? Or who can become? Or how can anyone become? How can you come into the category which is like in between? You're not actually full of that rag, like the inhabitants of Vrindavan. But you're attracted and you're trying to move in that direction. So who can be eligible? How does one get the eligibility? At what point can one get the eligibility? Can everyone get the eligibility? So these questions are discussed here. So, you'll see, Prabhupada begins, persons desiring to follow in the footsteps of such eternal devotees of the Lord as the Vrishnis and Vrindavan denizens are called Raganuga devotees, which means they're trying to attain that perfection. So it doesn't exactly make sense that these devotees are trying for it, plus, as we read at the beginning of chapter 15, the Vrindavan devotees who have it, that they could be called the same thing. They're not the same thing. That they're clearly not the same thing. The Vrindavan devotees, Dwaraka devotees, they have it. They're completely submerged in it. And some other devotees are just trying, beginning, developing, trying to come to that point. So they're called Rag Anuga. We mentioned at the beginning of the discussion of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti that Anuga means following. We are Prabhupada Anugas. We are Rupa Anugas. Rupa Goswami, followers. So we are followers. So Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti means practicing devotional service, following those who have rag. And if we look at our verses, this page which starts verses regarding Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti, You've got the wrong one there, Anupam, I think. Verses regarding Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. Is it the right one? Okay, sorry. Verses regarding Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. So the first verse gives the definition of both. Ragatmika means the attachment, devotional service with the attachment of the devotees of Vrindavan. And Raganuga means following in their footsteps. Then the second verse, let's see. Well, let's just turn over to the verse on the top of the back of that page. Virajantim abhivyaktam. You see that verse? So it's elaborating on the theme of the verse we just read. Devotional service in spontaneous love is vividly expressed and manifested by the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Devotional service that accords with their devotional service is called Raganuga Bhakti, or devotional service following in the wake of spontaneous loving service. It's a very nice concept. Following in the wake, following behind, following in the footsteps of these most elevated devotees, and it accords with their devotional service. Now, their devotional service means sensual, well, we rubbed it off, didn't we? Anyway, sensual, kama rupa, or sambandha rupa. So it depends. It depends. So, let us just read on from Nectar of Devotion. So Prabhupada goes on to explain that these Raganuga devotees don't follow the regulative principles so strictly, but spontaneously they're attracted. And gradually they develop an ambition, a specific ambition, to serve like one of those or one type of those Vrindavan devotees. So that means either in karma, rupa, or sambandha rupa. So an attraction to a particular type, not just Vrindavan and the Vrindavan devotees generally, but a particular version of Vrindavan devotional service. So this would be called either not karma rupa, because karma rupa means they have it already, spontaneous attraction in a conjugal relationship, but it would be karma nuga, and similarly sambandha nuga. Following those who have that transcendental calm. Following those who have who already have that transcendental attachment in a friendly or parental type of relationship. So now, so who is eligible? Who may actually adopt this process? Before we discuss how, you know, what they do when they have adopted the process, how would they practice, or what is the sadhana which is involved? But who might be possibly, who could be considered to take it up? So if you turn over to page 126, Prabhupada gives some very explicit and clear instructions to make us aware that this is not just some, this is not just like increasing your rounds or being a little more strict in your devotional service, but this is actually a very high level, and such practice can only develop under certain conditions when a devotee is already on a high level. So Prabhupada says here that we must always remember that this eagerness to follow in the footsteps of the denizens of Vraja is not possible until one is freed from material contamination. In following the regulative principles of devotional service, meaning like we have depicted here, I'm sure you know this idea here, starting from Shraddha Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, meaning you take up devotional service, then Anathana Vritti. You've taken up devotional service, now you're trying to get rid of all the unwanted things. And then when you come to Nishta, then material desires are more or less gone, at least to a very large extent, if one is actually Nishta or actually fixed. So what Prabhupada is saying is that there is a stage when you're following devotional service in according to regulative principles, there is the stage called Anathana Vritti, which means the disappearance of all material contamination. Sometimes someone is found imitating such raganuga or even ragatmika, devotional love. Only after that stage can one actually aspire to follow in the footsteps of the devotees in Vrindavan. So, we may or may not, it depends on how we're doing as individuals. But to come to the level of Nishta is no small achievement. It's actually an advanced stage. It's pure devotional service. It's definitely pure devotional service. So now, the idea of Raganuga, we just mentioned that it's following in the footsteps of a particular type of devotee. Not just the Vrindavan devotees, just like that, but the Vrindavan devotees who are in a particular mood, in a particular rasa, Madhurya rasa, Vatsalya rasa, Sakya rasa, particularly these three rasas, or also possibly Dasya rasa, but mainly those three higher rasas. Now, how would a person know which devotees I should try and follow? How would a devotee know? Any suggestions? Mother Radha Radhanath, any suggestion? No? How about Nilamadhava Prabhu? How about Bhakti Rishma? Okay. Well, it's a very interesting and very important point, because the possibility of mental concoction is quite a dangerous possibility in this regard. So how will a person know what type of devotee to become attracted to and to follow? They will only know when their dormant eternal relationship with Krishna is beginning to become awakened. And then a natural attraction will manifest in terms of the nature of that relationship, which is in one of the five rasas. So Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti can only begin when one's eternal rasa with Krishna, which is already existing within the heart, actually starts to manifest. Starts, just a little beginning. Some little idea is coming, but in a natural and spontaneous way, not a mental way. And certainly, that cannot occur while anathas are still there. Because anatha means there's a covering. There's you and what you're conscious of, and then there's the covering over what you and what you're conscious of, and then there's your eternal relationship with Krishna, and you're not conscious of it, because the anathas are covering it. So as the anathas become removed, so then the perception of what one's eternal relationship with Krishna is can start to come. This is why Prabhupada is making this point so strongly here. Only after the stage of liberation can one actually aspire to follow in the footsteps of the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Now if you are, and Prabhupada here is talking about in the paragraph above, that anyone who thinks that they're following the inhabitants of Vrindavan, following Nanda, Yashoda, or the gopis, while it's at the same time still attracted to sex life, then this is bogus. So we have to examine ourselves. You may not have to examine yourself so much. It may just force itself upon you. Attraction for the opposite sex. You may not have to look and see, do I have the attraction? You may be fighting with it on a regular basis. So then you know that a feeling that I may have, if I feel that, oh, maybe I like to worship Krishna in this way, maybe in that way, maybe it's a gopi, maybe it's a cowherd boy, then you know that this is mental. This is mental. And it's very likely to be in terms of your conditioning. In fact, it's inevitable to be in terms of your conditioning. Because while you still have anathas, and I don't know if we really need to do it, but just to make it really clear, there's you, then there's the barrier. This is the barrier here. And this is made of your anathas. And then there's your relationship with Krishna. So while the barrier is there, the possibility of your perceiving, even fractionally, your eternal relationship with Krishna is extremely unlikely. Extremely. And that's why Prabhupada is saying, because attraction to sex life is the main attraction. So if you see that you still have it, then don't worry too much about what may be your eternal relationship with Krishna. But if actually you're becoming free from sex life, which means coming to the level of nishtha, that material desire is at least going very substantially, or it's perhaps almost gone, like that. So then some type of perception of this sort is possible. And raganuga sadhana bhakti means that you are practicing devotional service in terms of your actual relationship with Krishna, but following devotees who are already in that relationship with Krishna, meaning the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Now, this also depends on another thing, whether you, I, anyone may enter into raganuga sadhana bhakti. It also depends on what is our eternal relationship with Krishna. If you have an eternal relationship with Krishna in Vaikuntha, like Hanuman, then you will not enter into raganuga sadhana bhakti anyway. Because it's not there within you. So the potential of becoming attracted to that is not really within you. So what will you become attracted to as your eternal nature manifests? You'll become attracted to that form of devotional service, like a more formal type of devotional service. So in other words, some people, depending on what their eternal relationship with Krishna is, will go from Vaidhi Bhakti to Bhava Bhakti, to Prema Bhakti, and perfection, without going through Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. Whereas generally the process, if one is actually having a relationship with Krishna in Vrindavan, if that is there within you, then Prabhupada's saying initially you go through Anatha Nivritti, that means Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. Then as your eternal relationship starts to become revealed, when the coverings are removed more or less, then an attraction will develop. Not develop, but will manifest. It's there. But it'll start shining through. And so one will feel impelled to serve Krishna in a certain way, in terms of a particular rasa with Krishna in Vrindavan. In this regard, we have another verse. It's on this page, verses regarding Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. And it's the bottom one. And particularly we Anyway, we can look at the verse. Particularly, I wanted to look at the purport. So the verse is saying, if one follows in the footsteps of the inhabitants of Vrindavan out of such transcendental covetousness, meaning some rag is manifesting, some actual attraction is manifesting, then he doesn't care for injunctions or reasonings of Shastra. That is the way of Raganugara Prakriti. That is the way of Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. So the purport has some interesting points in it.